Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
All right, we are going to be speaking to Alan Mokoki, who's the CEO of SACI. Now, the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry has released the SACI Trade Conditions Survey for May and June 2025. Mr. Mokoki joins us on the line. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. What's the Trade Conditions Survey and what does it tell us about?
Well, I think that it's a view that we normally conduct this type of research. This one is where we go to people and ask them to give an indication of where things are sitting in terms of their order book, in terms of what they see ahead, what their plans are, capital as well as other investments that they're anticipating in the future. And I think that there's a lot of hesitation at this particular point in time. People are not here minded in terms of what they would like to do, so there isn't that high of a positive environment for trade.
Yes. So you looked at the conditions for May and June. Can you give us more insight or data that came out of that?
Well, a lot of the data is, you know, there's a big overhang around what the U.S. was going to do, as you know, we're given the 90 days to try and get a deal done. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people didn't really know what was going to happen, because the United States remains our major trading partner in terms of exports that we send to the United States, of course, followed very closely by countries like China and Europe. So it was always going to create a problem in respect of people not knowing, are we going to get tariffs? Are we not going to get tariffs? The extent of the negotiations, what was going to happen, given the fact that the U.S. president is known to be very unpredictable. Mm. And even at that particular time, as you hear the story of a different interpretations, it was always in the air that the Americans were using a very different measurement in terms of calculating the tariffs. They would go into things like deficits, something that is very, very, very far from reality, because South Africa is a very small economy compared to the United States. Mm. The currency of the U.S. is much more stronger than the currency of South Africa. So invariably, if you are going to be selling things from South Africa into the U.S. market, they are going to be cheaper in the U.S. because of the exchange rate differential, without any doubt.
Yes.
And other than that, they are a much more bigger economy. So we are going to be able to sell more things to them than they are able to sell things to us. We have high levels of unemployment, and South Africa is not a developed economy. So I think that that's where we are in terms of the trade conditions. So most people are not, as you had the president the other day talking about, then South African businesses would need to diversify, because it's an argument that's become very intractable at this point in time.
Mm. Let's expand on that. There's a lot of uncertainty, as you've spoken about, in the air, in the global economic and trade environment. So then how does that affect us here in the short, medium and long term?
It affects us in the short and medium term, clearly, because our planning wasn't based, at least let's put it this way, we have talked about the plan, but we haven't actually implemented. I don't see much evidence of how we want to do the industrialization, how we want to really beneficiate our minerals, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, let's take the auto sector, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
One CEO that I wouldn't mention, who runs one of the major auto manufacturers in South Africa, who was exporting cars to the United States, used to make this observation and says, you know, I make the cars here in South Africa, I send them to the United States duty-free.
Mm-hmm.
However, do you know that South Africa, I am still importing 60% of the inputs, 60% of the auto parts that go into that particular car, right?
Mm.
And that's a huge opportunity for South Africa, because if you look at the big countries that do auto exports, South Korea, Taiwan, you will find that they themselves are relying almost 60-70% on the raw materials coming out of South Africa. So we have a very huge opportunity in the medium to long term, but the planning has got to start in terms of what is it that we're going to do with the South African economy in terms of the manufacturing deficit that we carry, which has created a laggard economy in a sense. So we need to build the competencies and the skills to be able to get into that industrialization environment so that we can then do the things that need to be done, because we don't stand a chance. I think that it's a wake-up call in a sense, because it may be Trump this time, it may be someone else in the future, it may be Europe another time, it may be China another time. We really don't know if things become intractable who else can behave like Donald Trump? But he might not be the last person who does what he's doing. So we need to get ready ourselves so that we're self-reliant, so that we can do the things that we need to do to be competitive. We are very, very lucky in the sense that we control a huge chunk of the raw material, iron ore, manganese, chrome, and all those things are actually required. We have quite a number of earth minerals as well. So we have to get into this environment where we can take a negative and make it a positive by doing the things that need to be done and do them very aggressively.
Is that the sentiment among traders and retailers when you're speaking to them?
No, not at this particular point in time. I don't think that. I think that a lot of people, you know, South Africans by their very nature are people who create, an ambiguity of some sort. Because whilst they themselves are very talented people and they can get a lot of things to be done, South Africans tend to not know that they're talented. Someone else says that maybe South Africans lack confidence. And I think that that's an issue that does need to be dealt with from a mindset point of view. There's a lot of people who've got great ideas, who are really smart, really talented, who can get things done, but they just don't have the belief, the self-belief that these things can actually be done in South Africa. So we need to be organized at a very different level. If you watch the Koreans, how they do things, you watch how the Taiwanese do things, you watch how the Chinese do things, and of course the Americans themselves, because they drive innovation in a much more bigger way and they're able to invest in it and resolve it. We need to have that mindset change in terms of belief and self-belief. So in a number of cases, I think that it's that soft thing that becomes so hard in terms of making South Africans to realize that we, number one, need to unite. And we're not united. This is a very, very divided country, significantly so, where you have a lot of people who don't understand what it means to be a South African. Everybody else is looking after their own small little part, but no one is looking after the totality of the South African enterprise in terms of the meaning to all of us. Not to be inside as an enterprise only to look after your race or only to look after your gender, only to look after your tribe, but to be able to understand the context of what does it mean to be a South Africa? Are South Africans themselves loyal to South Africa? If you listen to the negative sentiments about the country itself, I doubt that very much. So a lot of work needs to be done at a psychological level, at an emotional level, to bring that level of patriotism and loyalty so that people still understand that South Africa belongs to all of us. Let's not just talk about my race and talk about my tribe, whatever the case might be. Can we put together programs and action plans that talk about SA Incorporated, so that we can then deal with the region, we can deal with the continent, we can deal with Africa as a whole, because there are huge, unbelievable opportunities in this continent.
Yeah, I think it's important you speak about that cohesive planning and a mindset that focuses on getting things done as SA Inc. Because one of the challenges that we do have is employment. And if you're looking at traders and retailers and so much more, what about short and medium term planning in terms of that?
That's a fair fact, because we've ignored the development of people. And I think that sometimes we say this almost sounds glibly, as though the development, the training that is required is only for those people who were historically disadvantaged. That is not actually true. You see quite a number of high-level corporate leaders, executives and CEOs, who are very ignorant by their very nature. You go sit down with them and ask them about Africa, what's the opportunity? They cannot actually tell you what's going on. So that level of executive and leadership development is required across the board, including amongst the people who are actually sitting at the top levels of boards and executive suites in South Africa, because they themselves are blind, right? Mm-hmm. We met just recently with a huge delegation that came from Turkey. The ambassador from Turkey brought them to our office, and they were actually having a conversation. We're having a conversation. I think there were about 26 business people that came from Turkey. And one of the delegates says, by the way, we noticed that since 1996, we've never received a South African business delegation into Turkey, coming to Turkey to look for opportunities. Now, Turkey is in Europe, as you would understand. And these things repeat themselves so many times, by the way. South African business people don't travel. They don't go anywhere. So in the past, we used to think maybe they don't go to Africa. No, they don't go anywhere else. It's not like the people are going to Asia. People are going to South America to look for opportunities. Nobody's traveling. And even when we host these huge delegations coming into South Africa all the time, the senior decision makers are actually absent in those engagements. And not because they don't know. They know. But people are just not. So that level of development is significantly required, because we've assumed that there is this asymmetry of skills and competences between people who are in the public sector and the people in the private sector. We made a wrong assumption to assume that the private sector leaders themselves are ready and they are able to take advantage of opportunities. But we're not. We don't do particularly well when we try to open a business outside of South Africa. We don't do particularly well when we speak to people who don't speak English like us. Mm. We don't do particularly well when it comes to us needing to operate in a different culture. And the reason part of that has got to do with the fact that if we don't know, even know how to speak to a guy coming from Alex, are we going to talk to someone who comes from Seoul in South Korea?
Absolutely understood. Alan Mokoki,
so that's the level of development that's required. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time here on Kaya Biz. I'm not censoring you. We are just waiting for our next interview. Just speaking to us about trade conditions and what needs to happen in the South African business industry. When we come back, we'll be speaking to the Chief Executive Officer at South African Cane Growers Association on those 30% tariffs on South African sugar exports to the United States. And a little bit later on, we'll be speaking about those recalls of thousands of VWs, of Golfs, of Volvos, of Toyotas. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.